Everything around me, everyone I know, everything that I taste, touch, smell, hear, and see has been tainted by sin. God is not. He is holy, hallowed, completely transcendent, and separate. It's only through Jesus' death on the cross that we have that access. Oh, loved one, I'm just saying, and Jesus is saying, just be appreciative of where you are when you're in the presence of a mighty God. Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those that believe, there are only two kinds of people, and those that don't. No. Really is true in this case and setting. Those who live, thy will be done. And those who grab the steering wheel and say, my will be done. Listen to John Corson on this little section here. He says, quoting, God is terrifyingly fair. If you say, my will be done, he will allow that to happen. If you say, I don't want God, he will allow you to be damned, to be forever separated from him. We can either, as the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God, or we can say, God, you be still and let me do whatever I want. Either way, God will honor your choice. When I pray, what is my heart? Truly, is it my will, Lord, or thine? Verse 11, and give us, I couldn't help notice it doesn't say, give me, Lord. I think there's a little element, a little bit of a glimmer, a hint of intercession. Those things that I need to live for him, so do we all. Give us this day our daily bread, not this month, not this year. In the book of Exodus, you remember the manna that God caused to grow on the ground? How were you to collect it? Do you remember? You had to go out when? Every morning. I don't want to go out tomorrow because I got things to do. I got stuff to watch on my DVR. I don't really want to do that. I'm just going to collect double the portion on Monday for Tuesday. The Bible says something interesting would happen. Whatever the surplus was, by the next day, it was crawling with worms and decayed. So you had to go out and get some anyway. Except for Friday. Friday, you did collect double the amount, and Saturdays only is when you weren't to work. You were supposed to rest in God's presence, that it wasn't swimming with worms. How did the manna know when to decompose and when not to? Also, the Bible says, you can't gather manna for somebody else. Old Testament pictures are New Testament principles. You got to gather the sustenance of God for health and strength in him. When? Every single day. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It was asked one time of the brilliant author and historian C.S. Lewis, hey, what is found in Christianity which is not found in any other religion? He thought for a moment, and then he said, well, actually, it's quite simple, he replied, the forgiveness of sin. Check it out, you comparative religion students. Every other religion in the world, at its basis, is you climb the ladder, jump through the hoops, say so many things, go so many places, do what you got to do, and maybe God will like you. You better hold to all five pillars. And if God is feeling good that day, he may have you come on in and hang out with him. Not so biblical Christianity. It is the only system in the world where God came down to my level and rescued me. Father, please forgive me in the same measure and method with the same heart as I forgive other people. What if every day we were cognizant of the idea, Lord, Make sure you treat me in the same way that I am treating everybody else, especially the goober that I work with or work for. Jesus is saying, your whole prayer life will be different. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That word temptation is the Greek word perosmos. Perosmos. And it means literally to test or to entice. Strong's Concise Dictionary of Biblical Words says this word means of a condition or a circumstance or a mental state by which we are enticed or tested to the point of a lapse of faith and holiness. What this is saying is, Lord, please don't lead me into a condition or a circumstance or a mental state that is beyond my ability, that is beyond your grace, beyond your strength, beyond your supernatural protection and leading. Wouldn't you expect that he would never do that? It's not for him, it's for me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. I'll read it to you. Paul says, no temptation, that's the word, perasmos, no temptation has overtaken you except, number one, such as common to man. A lot of us don't like that because we're pretty convinced that what is on my plate is so hard, no one's ever had to go through it like I have. What's the principle? No. There is no challenge, no temptation, no perismos that has touched your life that other people haven't gone through as well. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, perismos, beyond what you are able. He is faithful. He will never allow a perismos to get you. But with the temptation, perismos will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We are supposed to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Why? Because when we do, we are reminded that whatever does touch my life, what? Is not going to crush me. Very important. Now, I know that sometimes it sure feels that way, doesn't it? Part of the Lord's Prayer that we're to pray every day, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't let a perismos get me. What is his answer when you pray according to God's will? Yes, he will not let a perismos crush you. That's not his nature. But deliver us from the evil one. That's very important. We pray this daily because when, not if, we encounter very difficult, seemingly crushing challenges, we know, number one, others are going through it too. Number two, we know that God is faithful to provide a way of escape. We know that he is faithful to pour out every natural or supernatural resource that we can bear it. When we get through the other side, we'll have received a powerful testimony. And who gets the glory on those? He does. For yours is the kingdom. Boy, do we live like it's not sometimes. Everything I do, everywhere I go, like we sang this morning, every expenditure of time, talent, and resources, please ask ourselves, who is it really for? A jillion years from now, will my kingdom exist? What's the answer? Only his. Yours is the kingdom and yours is the power. Wonderful Greek word. Dynamis. Have you heard of the Nobel Prize for Peace in Literature and Science? Alfred Nobel became rich because he was a great chemist. But one of his greatest, most noteworthy inventions was trinitrotoluene. TNT. Nitroglycerin, you had to ship it on a wagon and jostle it. And the thing about nitroglycerin, it was very persnickety and grumpy. And if you bumped it in the wrong manner, boop, you would die. Next Teamster, come on up. Trinitrotoluene was an amazing invention. It settled down the persnickety nature of nitroglycerin, and it is still very, very powerful. And it really did pave the way for excavating huge amounts of earth. Well, it didn't take long for the Defense Department to get behind that as well. And they begin to pack TNT into ordinances of all kinds. So because Alfred Nobel, when he invented this, he said, there's no English word that can capture the sense of huge power in a relatively small device. What will I call it? And it is rumored that he called a Greek scholar, knowing that Latin and Greek were ancient languages compared to English. And he asked him, is there any word? And the Greek scholar said, I have just the word. Dunamis, dynamis. What is it? It's huge power. So he called his TNT dynamite. Yours is the dunamis power, and yours is the glory. Doxa is the Greek word, and it's borrowed from the Hebrew word kabod. And what does glory mean in the Old Testament? The Shekinah glory, the weight, the substance, the very basis of power itself is the presence of God, you guys. Verse 14, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We must pray, may I treat others as you have treated me. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, you might want to circle that. When, not if. What is fasting? You're going to deny your flesh something that it loves. Is it Facebook? Is it food? Is it, dare I say, Candy Crush? Did somebody say ho-hos over here? Well, he's absolutely right. It can be food. Check with your doctor if that's something that's okay for you to do. Primarily, it does have to do with denying your flesh food. Because your flesh is a hungry old monster. And what does fasting do? I was going to just mention, go check out Isaiah 50, but let's turn there. Verse 1. Hey, Isaiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Hey, everybody. Cry aloud, spare not, tell and teach the people this. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people. Tell Harvest Family their transgression. Tell the house of Jacob their sins. Go to the church first with this message. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if, really what this is saying, as if they did not forsake the ordinances of their Lord. They ask me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say. I pray all the time, just like Pastor Steve said. And you have not seen. Where's the power? Where's the dunamis power? I read the book of Acts, Lord. Why is that stuff not happening in the Truckee Meadows? Number one, you need to know, oh, it is. It is. Why have we afflicted our souls by this fasting? And you have not noticed. In fact, in the day of your fast, says the Lord, look what you're doing. You find pleasure. You exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast, and then you strife and debate. And to strike with a fist. You're fighting. Punching people in the mugs. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? It's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? No. Is it really for a day to afflict his soul? That means asceticism. That's beating yourself with ropes or chains or whatever. Doesn't matter what you do. If your heart's not in the right spot to change, God's not going to hear it. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush or to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Inferred, no. Now verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Watch, everybody. When we fast with an appropriate and correct heart, not my will, but thine be done, we got some prodigals in this room. We've got husbands struggling, wives struggling. We've got jobs that are a trial. We've got circumstances. We've got physical ailments and healings represented in this room. Every condition of the human experience in this room. There are precious sons and daughters in this room that the doctor has said, there's nothing more we can do for you. And they're here today. Watch what denying the flesh in fasting can do. Loose the bonds of wickedness. Do you have an addiction that's kicking your butt? Have you fasted? To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. If drugs is your particular magnet, and believe you me, we all have magnets. But if the pharmakia, the drug thing, is really just trying to squeeze the life out of you, the Bible says pharmakia. In the New Testament, it's translated as witchcraft. There's a spiritual component to your drug abuse. You need to know that. You are being oppressed, demonically speaking. Watch what fasting does. To let the oppressed go free. To break most of the yokes. Say it with me, would you? How many? Every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Get out of yourself and get to ministering to others. And that you may bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover them. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Lord, search me, says Psalm 139. Now watch what happens. Then your light shall break forth. That's an idea of understanding. Businessmen, or whatever you might be thinking, is there a terrible choice facing you? And you don't know what way to go? Fast. Why? Light's coming. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Pastor Steve, are you saying that God is going to heal everybody? My answer is emphatically, yes! Some of us this side of glory, absolutely everyone on the other side of glory. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory, there's the word, kabod, the substance, the peace. The glory of God shall be your rear guard. Don't worry about trying to cover all the bases. Do what you know how to do to walk close with the Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. He'll cover all the bases you're not even thinking about. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you will take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of your finger, neener, neener, him, them, and stop speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, your darkness shall be as the noonday. I can't even see where I'm going, Lord. Don't worry, I'll open up the heavenlies, and you'll know exactly what step to take. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you. What's the next word? Continually. There is contentment here. And satisfy your soul in drought. Have you noticed the drought in America? It's not a precipitation deficit. It is a spiritual deficit. The strength of your bones, you shall be like a well-watered garden. I wrote in my Bible, fruit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. I wrote in my Bible, restoration. Lord, I feel like praying right now, oh, in Jesus' name, the enemy has convinced many, even in this room, this marriage is done. Oh, in Jesus' name, let them understand they've been listening to the wrong voice. Let them know, Lord, that if one, and especially when both husband and wife pray, not my will, but thine be done, and fast and pray, the enemy comes off of us. The word comes to life in us. And my life is changed. And Lord, build up the old broken places and marriages in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. You know, if this kind of dunamis power isn't flowing in and amongst Harvest Family Fellowship, then seriously, why are we even meeting together? If we are not living like this in the supernatural restoration and the moves of God's spirit and heart, then really, why are we even here? Then it must be about us. Oh, Lord, may it always be about you. Verse 12, those from among you shall build up the old broken or waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Back to the last part of our section of the book of Matthew, verse 16, chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when, not if you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. I'm fasting. What's the matter, Mr. Pharisee? Well, I'm fasting for God. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What was that? When they said, look at me fasting. The moment that somebody went, that's awesome, or golly, that's all you get. Verse 17, but you, when you fast, not if, anoint your head, that is to say, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How important is prayer? Let's all stand together, everybody. How often should we say the Lord's Prayer? I don't know. How's about you pray it every day for a while just to see what happens? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here it comes. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. That's what I've been needing forever and ever. Amen.